Hello, my name is Amelia, and I miss in-person conferences.
Hello, Amelia.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, it is that time of year again when I would normally pack my bags, try to remember my business cards, triple check my recording gear, and fly off to some sunny spot in the southern United States to get my fill of Vita, Sosa, PicMig, backplanes, optics, embedded computing, and more standards than I could possibly ever know what to do with. At one of my favorite conferences of the year, Embedded Tech Trends. Well, this year was a little different. Instead of hugs, handshakes, and a neatly titled card with my name on it, folks, that stuff does not get old. It was a Zoom meeting instead. No, not the same by any means, but it was still great to see the faces of the people that I have grown to really appreciate over the years. Why do I love ETT? Well, I guess it's kind of similar to cooking. For me, I love how ingredients play together, how everything connects to make a delicious meal or critical embedded system. I like crafting recipes and then sharing them with other people so they can learn from my mistakes. ETT is like that for me. I like how standards come into play in our crazy world called electronic design. I like learning about the recipes that make critical embedded systems powerful. In this world. Jerry Gipper, executive director at Vita, titled this year's ETT as a community of open standards, sharing the vision. So this week, in honor of Jerry and my collection of embedded tech friends, let's get into some standards with Doug Sandy from PicMig. Doug and I are talking about the variety of standards PicMig is working on and the super cool details of their new MicroSAM. All right, let's get started. Hi, Doug. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks. It's great to be here today.
Okay, so for my audience who may not know, what is PicMig all about?
Okay, well, that's a good question. I get asked that a lot. PicMig started out as a manufacturers group in 1994. So we've been around quite a while. And it has always been about creating open specifications for modular computing. So it's not always the hardware. Sometimes we do software specifications. And as a matter of fact, we've got a software specification going on right now related to IoT. But our mission has always been industrial computing. And what that has meant, the second question that I get is, well, what is industrial computing or what is embedded computing? And we at PicMig leave that kind of open. But as far as where we've typically served, we've typically served medical, military, industrial automation. We have some other interesting ones, transportation, space. We have PicMig product or PicMig spec-based product on Mars right now. The Curiosity rover has a PicMig board in it. We have a high energy physics community that joined PicMig about 10 years ago, maybe a little less than that. And we have PicMig related product running the big particle colliders as well. So PicMig product is very, very diverse in terms of where it's found its niche. But we tend to serve those, what I would consider traditional embedded market.
Fantastic. Now, Doug, we're talking about MicroSAM today, which is the PicMig specification in a series of IIoT related open standards. Now, first, how does the MicroSAM fit into the general industrial Internet of Things ecosystem? And Doug, what kind of challenges is this new specification looking to solve?
Oh, sure. Great question. So back in, it was 2018 when we started looking at how PicMig can help the IIoT community. We looked at where the gaps were, and PicMig doesn't want to solve problems that already exist, that already have solutions for them. We looked at where there are pain points for our member companies, potential customers. The real pain points that weren't being addressed was standardization at the sensor level. So if you think about your traditional IIoT installation or even IoT installation, You've got the infrastructure that does management and control and data gathering. You've got some sort of typically analytics, maybe cloud-based analytics that is gathering insights from the information that's being gathered. But then at the last foot of the network is what I call it, you have sensors and actuators, right? So for industrial automation, you have to include the actuators, so things like motors and solenoids, things that affect change in the network. There are no standards down there. So every company, when they want to implement their own piece of new equipment using sensors, they go out there and they say, well, what sensors do we want to use? And they have a variety of choices, but most of them are not smart sensors. Most of them don't give plug and play capability. So there's a bit of heavy lifting to do in order to integrate the new sensors into the IIoT facility. So what we envisioned back in 2018 was we want to bring plug and play down to the sensor domain. So that last foot of the network. So when you purchase a sensor, if you're a factory operator, for instance, and you're building a new assembly line and you want to pick out your sensors, you just pick your sensors, you plug them in and they self-report. They say, oh, I'm a temperature sensor and this is my range. I'm a servo motor, and this is what my capabilities are, right? So that was the vision back then. And MicroSAM is just one piece of this. And we are looking in our IIoT efforts to support multiple different potential users with our specifications. One user is someone who's a sensor vendor and they want to make a smart sensor. We've spent a bit of time at Sensor Expo and talking to sensor vendors and finding out where their strengths are and how comfortable they are making a smart sensor. What we found is that their technical expertise goes very, very deep on the sensor technology, the physics of the sensor itself. But most of them do not have the capabilities to do the computing side. So MicroSAM is providing a form factor, a module that is very small that will allow the sensor vendor to plug into that module and have the intelligence required to make their sensor smart. This is just one part of the overall solution down at the sensor domain. So it's the lowest level of PCMIG's specification work, which is the hardware interface. Above that, we have firmware and we have a data model that we're working on as well.
Okay, so Doug, one thing that stood out to me immediately was that this approach is microcontroller agnostic. So can you tell me more about that?
Sure. Microcontroller agnostic, it sounds scarier than it actually is. What we have done historically with PCMIG, we create open specifications. And part of our philosophy is we specify the interfaces that are required for interoperability, and then we allow vendor differentiation within those interfaces. I'll take that philosophy to something that we already know. Let's talk about laptop computers, for instance. Most of us are familiar with laptop computers. We recognize that a laptop computer has to have a keyboard on it, at least most of old school laptops, not the tablet laptops, but has to have a keyboard. It has to have a screen on it, and it has to have some way of connecting to the outside world. Those are the interfaces. As a consumer or a user of a laptop, most of the time, we don't really care what's inside the laptop, what makes it work. As far as the user perspective is concerned, we are hardware agnostic. We don't care what's inside there, as long as it provides us the capabilities of what we expect from a laptop. So what we've done for MicroSAM is we've specified the interfaces on MicroSAM. So what connectors are on it? What size is it? What thermal profile does it have to fit into? Actually, thermal is not as much of a concern on this as it is on some of our other PCMIG products, but it does have to fit in the full industrial temperature range. What is the power consumption profile of this? And what sort of I/O does it need to provide? So those are the interfaces for MicroSAM. And then in terms of what microcontroller actually goes on it, it doesn't matter as long as it meets the requirements of those interfaces.
That makes sense. Now, Doug, can you tell me what other kinds of specifications you're working on for the future?
Yeah. So there are multiple specifications in flight right now at PCMIG. Let me talk about the portfolio of PCMIG specifications, and that'll help put things into context. We have from modules all the way down to the microSAM, which is our smallest module. And then we have larger modules that are computer on modules. So these are anything from laptop class computing all the way up to server class computing on modules that are about, I'll say, a little smaller than your cell phone to slightly larger than your cell phone. We have some specification work going on right now on what we call COM HPC, which is the High Performance Compute Server Class module. Very exciting that we are bringing server class performance to the compute on module form factor. And then we have bladed architectures as well. If you're familiar with bladed architectures, you've got a backplane and you've got cards or blades that fit into that backplane. One of those actually is what's up on Mars, right? We have compact PCI, a flavor of that. That's one of our earliest bladed architectures. We have some of that equipment on Mars, but we also have micro TCA, which is a small form factor bladed architecture originally conceived of for telecommunications, but it has found its way into many, many other things. In fact, that's where the physics community picked that one up. That's what's in some of the big particle accelerators and atom smashers. So we have some work going on micro TCA. We just finished up some work bringing its interfaces up to 40 gigahertz Ethernet on the backplane. So that's pretty exciting. And then we also have compact PCI serial, some activities going on in that. So a lot of work in the bladed architectures. And then there is some more work. I would be remiss if I didn't say we're working on some other things for IIoT. It doesn't just stop here with the microSAM module. This doesn't give you plug and play, with the exception of the fact that the sensor vendors can count on certain connectors that they can plug into. But our ideal is that we want to be able to hook this module or microSAM or any other, it doesn't have to be a microSAM, but other any other module that reports itself properly can plug and play with the higher levels of the infrastructure of your industrial installation. So in order to do that, we are working on some firmware specifications. So what does the firmware on a compliant module have to be able to do? And at the same time, we are also working on a data model. So how does the higher level of the network or installation interact? How does this device actually report itself? What are the behaviors that it needs to do to interact with the upper levels of the network? And in order to do that, we also have an agreement with the DMTF, another great ISO that's been around for about the same length of time as PCMIG has. And we are part of PCMIG's effort is extending the Redfish management API for industrial automation, industrial IoT. So both the standards organizations are excited about that.
Excellent. All right, Doug, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now you've got a little COVID special coming at you. So if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant's closed, you need a passport to get there, it's out of your state, out of your country, what would you have?
Oh, this is a no-brainer, actually. I have been craving really good sushi. Either sushi or sashimi. I really, really enjoy it. And it's really hard to get here in Arizona, right, where I'm located. If you've checked your maps lately, we don't have an ocean anywhere near us. So there's no fresh seafood. Even so, the best sushi that I have ever had was in this boutique restaurant. It was in Tokyo, located right there at the fishing dock, the wharf where the fresh fish came in. You wouldn't know this for a sushi restaurant if you just looked at the outside. It just looked like an industrial building, maybe with a house or something on top. But best sashimi, freshest sashimi I have ever had. It was fantastic. So that's where I would go, and that's what I would have. I'd probably my favorite is tuna sashimi or tuna sushi. So. Easy question. I thought you were going to hit me with something hard here.
No. Well, Doug, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
So if you want even more information about embedded tech trends, Vita, or PCMIG, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com. Speaking of everything interconnecting, I have a great new Chalk Talk to tell you about. In a hot off the digital presses episode of Chalk Talk called PCI Express, an interconnect perspective, I sit down with my friend Matthew Burns and talk about the newest advances in PCIe and why the challenges of maintaining signal integrity have only gotten tougher. We also chat about why PCIe isn't just for PCs anymore, what PCIe over fiber looks like, and how Samtech's team of signal integrity experts can help you with your next PCIe design. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EE Journal, by checking out the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. You can't miss it. It's right across the top. Or you can also go on over to YouTube, youtube.com/EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, you can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. Also, we have that YouTube channel I just mentioned, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can also subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, and the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 29th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.